We've been greeting each other this morning with Happy New Year. It is the new year, which means it must be time for New Year resolutions. I wonder if you've made one yet. Maybe a household spending review, maybe a detox. I thought detox meant avocado and pomegranate seeds. It turns out you can have a digital detox where you stay away from Facebook and Snapchat and so on for a while. That's quite popular this year. What's going to be your New Year's resolution? What are you going to invest time in this year? What are you going to pursue? There are lots of good things to aim for, aren't there? Lots of good things for us to be working towards. But how do we focus our energies this year on the important things? How do we get the first things first and keep the second things in second place? Well, our passage that we're looking at, it teaches us that engaging with God's word has the potential to bring life. God's word shows us where the valuable things are. It shows us where life is to be found. It shows us what should be at the top of the New Year to-do list. Let's look at the passage we had read from Psalm 119. We're going to look at it in two halves. So the first half should be up there, verse 33 to 36. And we'll ask the question, how do we read the Bible? And then in the second half, we'll ask the question, why read the Bible? So for this half, how? Look at verses 33 and 34. There's quite a strong promise of obedience there. I want to understand the Bible because I want to obey it. It's no good us coming to the Bible this year, asking God what he would have us prioritize, what he'd have us invest in, if we have no intention of doing what he says. That would be rude. I used to be a teacher. Sometimes pupils, understandably, wouldn't get the instructions the first time. One of them would put up their hand and say, sorry, sir, could you explain that again? And that's okay. I'd explain it again. But imagine my frustration when that pupil was the one that I saw not following the instructions. It's just ridiculous. And we see in these verses that the right way to read the Bible is with the intention to put it into practice. But I don't know about you. I can find the way that it's phrased quite off-putting. Because how often do we read the Bible, but then we know that we fail to do what it says? But the promise to obey here, it's not the teacher's pet promise. It's not, I'm so amazing, I'll be able to do everything that the Bible says. This is the promise of the person who trusts in the power of Jesus to help us to start to learn to obey. This is the promise of the person who wants to do things God's way and is asking God for help to do that. So how do we read the Bible? Well, our answer is that we read it asking for God's help to help us obey. And look at verse 35. There's something else here as well. Verse 35 says that in God's commands we find delight. Now, if you're a regular Bible reader, I realize that might not be your experience. How would you describe engaging with the Bible? A delight? I hope sometimes that is right. But what about the other times, the boring times or the confusing times? Well, think about your favorite food. I think my favorite food recently has become Christmas cake. Christmas cake tastes amazing. But when you're ill, even your favorite food can taste really bland. It kind of loses its taste, doesn't it? The food's still tasty. There's nothing wrong with the food. But you don't want it because you're ill. To you, it tastes bland, boring, even unpleasant. And what you need, it's not different food. You need to get better. You need your illness to go away so you can enjoy the tasty food again. I know our experience of reading the Bible is not always Christmas dinner delicious, but the problem is not that we need different food. The problem is that we're sick, and we need to ask for God's help to help us discover in our experience just how delightful his word is. So how do we read the Bible? Asking God for help to obey it, asking God for help to delight in it. And for our second section, why? Why should we read the Bible? Well, we started to look at this reason earlier. The Bible helps us with our priorities. It turns our attention, our eyes, away from worthless things to life-giving things. Verse 37 says, turn my eyes away from worthless things, preserve my life according to your word. The Bible is the right place to go to get our New Year priorities in order. As we read the Bible, we see the worthlessness of empty things. These empty things are what the Bible calls idols. They're what you get if you take a good thing and you make it the thing. So it's good to have some New Year's resolutions probably this year. It's good for some of us to think about a diet. It's good for me to think about a new exercise regime, I think. But if I make that the New Year's resolution, the thing that I've got to do this year, the top priority ahead of God. Well, that good thing has become an idol. And the Bible says that when something becomes an idol, it will ultimately prove to be a worthless thing, an empty thing. In verse 39, the psalmist recognizes that chasing after idols ultimately leads to disgrace, to rejection from God. Isn't the psalm so realistic here? The psalmist knows that our tendency is to put the second things first, to choose the empty idols instead of God. So he prays for God to help us fix our eyes back on life-giving things. The Bible helps show us the true value of things. It helps us see for what they really are, those things that might distract us from God. And the Bible also helps us to see where true life can be found. Life is the repeated theme here in both verses 37 and 40. We've got preserve my life according to your word and preserve my life in your righteousness. As we read the Bible, we learn about life-giving things. We learn where to go to find life. And first of all, we learn that we can only find life in the gospel. As we read the Bible, it's by reading or listening to the Bible taught or explained that we come to understand and believe in the good news. It's only through the Bible that we can discover that God has done something about our idolatry problem. God has done something about our offense, our sin, our seeking secondary things instead of him. He's done something about that in the Lord Jesus and made it possible for us to come to him for new life. But we find in the words of the Bible more than just saving life. It's amazing enough that this is where we find the gateway into relationship with God. Even better than that, this is where we find God's ongoing provision of life, like we were thinking about earlier with the panda, the ongoing day-by-day feeding that we need for life. We discover in the Bible that there are such things in this world more weighty, more full of glory and satisfaction than Xboxes and sweets, than promotions and new cars, even than family gatherings at Christmas. We can come through the Bible to know about things like knowing God deeply. We can come to know about things like having a shared identity together in Jesus. We can start to see the world the way God sees it. We can start to know with greater confidence God's goodness through the difficult things this year. These are the weighty things in life. This is where real value, real glory is to be found. It's as we read our Bibles, our eyes are turned away from shallow and empty things and towards life-giving things. How do I read the Bible? Well, I need to ask God for help to understand it, for help to obey it, for his help to delight in it. It is delightful. And why should I read the Bible? Because I can find life there. New life with God. And an ongoing enjoyment of the weighty, glorious things in life. I don't know what the right New Year's resolution is for you. But how about we commit to regularly engaging with the Bible? We're not all confident readers. We have different ways of doing that. I think John's going to talk about that a bit. Talk to us about it at the end. But as we engage with the Bible, let's be praying that God would shape our goals this year according to what he says is truly valuable, is truly worthwhile. Let me pray as we finish. Father God, thank you that you have given us in the Bible words of life. Please, would you be at work to help us understand, delight in, and obey your word. Please, by it, would you turn our eyes away from worthless things and give us life in the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Duncan, thank you very much. We're going to respond to what we've heard as we sing our next song, which is all about the promises of God's word that we stand on as believers, and yet we don't stand on these promises on our own strength. We stand in the strength of God, his grace.